There's something about spring that gets people in the mood to set the world on fire. When you look at the pranks people play on April Fool's Day, you quickly realize folks from all over the world have always loved coming up with ways to send folks on a fool's errand.
Today, it seems all the popular April Fool's Day jokes are just awful internet memes, propaganda, and brand marketing, leaving us to wonder what happened to all the great pranks of yesteryear.
Today, Amanda Cohen joins us to take a look at April Fool's Day pranks then and now. From our early days as Feast of Fools, where we convinced folks that Oprah was going to dye the Chicago River the color purple, to when Amanda crushed people's hearts by announcing she had gotten too famous for this podcast. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous people like you. Thank you. Did you know we're on Patreon? Check us out at patreon.com/feastoffun. One of the most notorious moments in the history of doing our beloved podcast, Feast of Fun, is early on when one of our gal pals, Amanda Cohen, back then under the name as Amanda Steinstein, announced to the listeners that she was stopping doing the podcast because she had gotten too famous, and now she had a job in a big radio station with a big fat paycheck.
If you say so.
And people were outraged and so mad about it and so sad. And this is before Facebook and Twitter was a thing. So people felt like they had just lost a dear friend. Our guest today is Amanda Cohen.
Oh, great. The girl who broke your heart. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a great way to set me up. Thanks, Fausto.
I guess it was our episode number 504 from April. Well, technically, we posted an hour before, so it was like March 31st,
yeah.
2007. So it was 11 years ago.
God, am I that old?
You're that old.
Holy cow.
The grave waits for no one.
Oh, God. Well, to all of those fans, I officially apologize because that was rude of me to do when you had when there was no other way to fact check anything. Like the internet barely existed 11 years. Well, no, that's not true. There was plenty of internet.
But DJ Trashy said, "Oh my God, my wife cried, and this was the second time she heard the episode, even though she knew it was just a prank. You guys are so wrong for that.
I am so sorry. Oh my God! You know they probably stopped listening because they were so pissed that I lied.
I think I heard some from years later and said that they stopped listening the day Amanda quit. And I was just like, you know, that was a joke, right? And she's been on the podcast ever since. What?
No, I'm sorry. This is why I hate April Fool's Day.
April Fool's. No,
no, it's just, you know,
I did love you. I was going to be loyal.
I'm so sorry.
This is the thing. It's like I was trying to like track down into the origins of April Fool's Day. Yeah. And it seems like every European culture from France to, you know, England and the Netherlands all have their separate origins.
Yes.
For April Fool's
There's
Day.
There's a lot of them. And a lot of them also have to do with kind of courting and flirting because it's a spring holiday.
Oh, it's a horny holiday.
There is one of them. I know which. I don't know. Maybe was it Poland? One culture has a thing where the guys will throw a bucket of water on women. And mm-hmm. then they're supposed to make up afterwards. I'm like, well, that's just mean.
Pulling on her pigtails to tell her you like her.
Oh, God. And, well, I don't think that would fly here anymore. I mean,
it could get you arrested.
It could get you. There's a lot of stuff that used to be considered cute boys will be boys, he just likes you, that is now completely indefensible behavior, mm-hmm. Which is a good thing. But it also means that, you know, people just aren't going to tolerate
bullshit
when you when it comes to April Fools. I mean, it and there's also a lot of people make jokes about stuff that is very serious to other people, like mm-hmm. I can't handle it anymore, I'm going to commit suicide, or I'm finally doing it, I'm getting married, or I got pregnant, or, you know, things that are really important to other people who maybe say can't get pregnant mm-hmm. or have tried to commit suicide. That those claims aren't funny.
And what do you think, like, April Fool's Day? You sound like a mean old woman.
I am. I'm a bitter old lady.
Quit having fun, kids.
I'm a bitter old lady, and you're going to listen to me now.
Well, I had some friends, and they took a picture of, like, this stock baby and put it, hey, we look, we adopted a kid, and, like, they have this wholesome little gay family, and I'm just kind of like, I hope you save the gift receipt. But so many people fell for it. You know, they really believed that these two guys had a baby together, and I was just like, it's April 1st, folks. How do you not get it?
Again, you know, there are parents that are gay and otherwise who would love to have a kid and are not going to appreciate you joking about having one. So I don't think it's funny.
Is that, you know, people in the spring, like, winter's over, spring's here, and people want to fuck shit up. They want fuck with each other.
Cabin
they
wanna, fever. Yeah, people
they're horny. They're,
yeah.
they're ready to rustle. Crime goes up.
Yep. Well, here, I mean, you know, here where you have winter.
Chicago.
Yeah. Back in L.A., it's pretty much
it's crime all the time.
It's kind of, well,
it's like the smog.
That's actually the city's logo. Crime all the time.
Well, no, it's I think it slows down in summer when it's super hot and nobody can handle going outside. Yeah, there's days, you know, in the summer where you'll go, you know,
like the song Hot Time Summer in the City.
No, it's worse than that. It's not like a fun hot time summer in the city.
Back
it's like,
in my neck getting dirt and gritty.
No, it's more. Yeah, see, that would never happen in L.A. because you wouldn't be walking outside.
You'd be like, where is the air conditioning?
You'd be like, I'm in my car. You know, you can drive around and see nobody walking. Because
riding bikes, right?
Or riding bikes, yeah. I mean, I just went on a lovely bike ride myself, and
you saw some flowers in bloom. I saw that on your Facebook.
Oh, you saw my pictures.
Super bloom.
That was actually not part of the super bloom. No, that was just a regular bloom.
Okay.
The super blooms are way out in the suburbs, and I haven't made it out there yet. But they're a real problem.
The super blooms are a problem?
They're a real problem. Yeah, there's.
Tell us how bad these flowers suck.
No, the flowers are. Well, okay. I will give you the words of, I believe it was the mayor of Lake Elsinore or one of the towns that is near all the flowers. He said, last year we had fires, then we had flooding, now we got flowers. Literally, he said that. Because they were creating such a traffic nightmare because every tourist in the world wanted to come. Literally, people are coming from around the world to see these freaking hills covered with flowers. Mm-hmm. And people were like parking on the highway and, you know, parking on off ramps and just walking out into the flowers to take pictures. And
today's flowers are tomorrow's Tinder.
Well, you know what? That's the least of their concerns. Their concerns were more like you couldn't drive in their entire town. Like, three times the population came to see flowers. So they had to arrange, like, shuttle buses and, you know, close down streets. And it was a whole freaking thing. It was, you know.
Amanda, you're a person who was born to do talk radio.
How dare you say I was born?
You were born to do talk radio.
And we
met you through a Craigslist ad, actually.
Yeah.
It was an audition for our live musical drag queen variety show, Feast of Fools.
Yeah.
And you came in, you're like, your haircut looks like a Romulan. And I said, marry me.
Well, it did. It did. It was blue and it was, well, technically Romulans. No. I remember now. I'm thinking of Andorians.
It was in this apartment, actually, that we met.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you had, your hair was very, like, flat and straight and very Romulan.
And so, you know, the thing about the podcast in the early days of the podcast and the internet is that it was a bridge for people who are isolated from gay culture, from urban culture, from friends, for a lot of people who just didn't have a sympathetic voice. You know, we were there for them. And you were certainly like a big, vivacious, kind, dynamic, very Fran Drescher.
Yeah, whatever happened to me?
Quirky.
Amanda Steinstein.
Filled with
facts. Could you do the voice just for a little
bit? Oh, my God, you guys. You invented Amanda Steinstein. You already had the part, and you just looked for someone to walk into the role, and that was me.
No, actually, we created that role for you.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, I thought you were looking for some crazy Jewish woman.
We just wanted a woman with big tits.
Oh, well, here we go.
The audition was a big, vivacious woman look for a Pee Wee Playhouse-inspired musical variety show. And you're like, Pee Wee's Playhouse?
Oh,
I'm
sign
in.
Me up. Yeah.
And part of it is like, you know, in terms of the way the audience reacted, they reacted really poorly. Like, it was a really...
It was a really...
You really made a bad decision. You're right.
Well, it was just, you know, in a sense, it was, even though it was like in this great tradition of April Fools, people felt very much like it was a betrayal. And I was like, oh boy, wait till they realize that Amanda Steinstein isn't a real person either.
Yeah. Or, well, I remember the day I had to come out as not trans. Do you remember that?
Because people thought you were trans.
Well, that was the idea was that I was trans.
Oh.
And then, then when I started scuba diving, which as I recall was 2005, somebody like I either wrote or emailed or something asking about any special precautions I might need to take post-op as a trans person scuba diving. And that's when I had to say, okay, I don't know if this is a joke or if they're actually looking for information, but I'm going to have to come clean on this one.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, it was.
I don't even know how that one started. We were so wrong back then.
It was very... Well, you know,
we've matured a lot over the years.
But so much has changed.
Yes.
But, I mean, like...
It's about changing time. Here's another prank that we did. For the Chicago Tribune, we started writing a podcast and a blog, and Oprah was ending her show.
Yeah.
And at the time, and she was going to close Michigan Avenue and tape her show on the Chicago River.
Oh, great.
And so we wrote in the Chicago Tribune, Chicago Now magazine, Oprah to dye Chicago River the color purple. You've heard that Oprah is closing down Michigan Avenue.
See, now that's funny.
Let me read this to you. Hold on. You've heard that Oprah is closing down Michigan Avenue to tape a show, but what you might not know is that she's also dyeing the Chicago River the color purple with acai berry juice. Don't worry. Acai berries don't harm wildlife. And in fact, this miracle superfood may increase their immune system's response of the fish and may help them shed unwanted pounds.
Oh, my God.
See, with this one weird trick. So we finally may be able to eat fish caught in the Chicago River.
Ew.
Thank you, Oprah.
Ew, no.
People went berserk over
but
that.
But see, that's funny because
she's gone too far.
There's no victim there, though. Mm. That's just like, oh, Oprah's being silly, and here's a slightly sillier thing. Mm. That makes sense. And nobody would, you know, nobody would stand to gain or lose by the river being dyed purple. That's just a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing is, like, you know, I photoshopped the, you know, I took a photo of the green Chicago River and just chroma keyed it to purple.
Oh, like you did with my hair with
yes,
that wig?
Yes, because that wig used to be green.
The green wig that is purple. So you have a thing about turning green into purple, don't
it's
you?
Very it's very easy.
Yeah, okay.
Very easy to do. And so it's just one click on Photoshop and you're done. Slapped a Chicago, the Oprah logo on it, reflected into the water.
Nice.
Little distortion.
Yeah.
Bam, we're done. And man, that so all these blogs were like, Oprah, it's refreshing that Oprah is ending her show because she is going too far. This megalomaniac is shutting down downtown. And not only that, taking advantage of this great Chicago tradition for, you know, for her ego, blah, blah, blah.
I think the problem here now is that there are so many people spreading disinformation on purpose.
Yeah.
That now to spread it as a joke just seems dangerous because people
it's kind of ruined our fun.
People believe everything. I mean, well, no, there's literally people and robots who
pushing
exist
stuff
to spread false information.
The flat earthers and the anti-vaxxers ruined it for everyone.
No, I'm talking about like the Russian bots and you know, people like somebody.
But it's not just Russia. It's also corporations. It's also conservative groups. It's anybody who benefits from sowing chaos and disinformation.
Yeah. Somebody I thought I knew posted a thing basically implying that AOC's dad was the
Ocasio.
Ocasio's dad was
Alexandria Ocasio Cortez.
Alexandria I can't remember it. I can't fucking
Ocasio.
Alexandra Ocasio
Cortez.
That her dad was the scarecrow from Wizard of Oz.
Great
it was a meme, you know, and I'm like, what's your point here?
Mm-hmm. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that she's dumb. I'm like, but she's not.
Oh, because conservatives think that they want to portray her as stupid.
Exactly.
So if you notice the scarecrow. In her picture that they always show, she always has her mouth open.
Yes.
You know?
But that's the thing is, like, there's people actively spreading, even if it's a, you know, a silly thing like, oh, the scarecrow, it's like, but she's not dumb. She's simply not. So to spread these memes and these stories that imply that she is, you know, that definitely gets people who don't think these through to believe that. I mean, like, I think there's some reason I'm not supposed to like Nancy Pelosi, but I don't remember what it was. I just remember
she's a woman.
Oh yes, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you.
An old woman.
Yes. Well, they started posting things about how terrible she was, and I remember specifically thinking, wait a minute, what did she do? Why do we not like her? Mm-hmm. But that's how pervasive it was. And even me, as a radical progressive liberal lefty commie pinko girl. I was like, I'm not supposed to like Nancy Pelosi. Why is that? Because it's just so pervasive.
She's shrill.
Oh, she's shrill.
She's a woman.
And she's a woman. Yes.
She's got big ovaries, baby.
Yeah. How dare she? But
this is the thing, like, you know, with all these news items, some of them that get pushed into our zeitgeist, into our consciousness.
So fake and so lies.
It always has a ulterior motive. Like, awful things can happen and awful people can say awful things. But you always have to, now in the age of social media, disinformation, you're starting to hear things that, you know, just sound horribly wrong. And you're just kind of like, why am I learning about this? Why do I even care what happens in a far off theater company in London? This is a thing called, now that's being spread around the internet, called Puppetgate.
Oh, another Puppetgate.
And it's not Trump. Okay. It's not Trump, Russia, Puppetgate.
You know what? I'll take it. If it's not Trump, it's good news. That's fine by me.
This
is
a British theater company that has decided to do a play about a family whose nonverbal autistic child
that's cool.
Is being sent to an institution.
That's not
autistic
cool.
Child is being represented by a puppet.
Wait, what? A puppet?
A puppet.
The kid?
A really weird-looking puppet. Show her a picture
of
the puppet.
Felt. You just get up and look at the screen here.
Look at that. That's supposed to be a child.
Jesus Christ, it looks like a corpse. Like, not even a good one.
So, they're bad puppeteers.
So, it's a bad puppet. The puppet's supposed to be violent, you know, and some weird shit's happening during this play. Like, the father, who's supposedly not autistic, takes a shit on the mother's pillow and blames it on the autistic son.
So people start questioning, why is this theater company doing this
based
play?
Based on a true story.
And they're doing, like, they're saying, well, they were wanting to tell this story, but they didn't know how to go about it, and so they decided to have a proxy, a puppet, for a child actor.
Mm-hmm. Why not just get a child actor?
Because child labor laws in London, and the budget of the theater company didn't allow for that to happen. And, you know,
they had a budget for a puppet, but not a human.
They're jerks. They're doing stupid things. You know, I don't know why they would. So they do this play. The parents and all the characters in this play come across as assholes. The only redeeming character is the autistic child. And
they could have gotten a small girl, like a woman, a young woman to do it, like an 18-year-old small woman. I know I know more than a few women over the age of 18 who could pull off playing a 12-year-old kid.
The Playhouse didn't consult with any autistic people.
No, they did not, did they?
They didn't consult with the National Autism Society.
Oh, my God.
When they did with another group, they said, this is a bad idea, you should revisit it.
Yeah.
And the Playhouse said, we took those notes under advisement, meaning we ignored them.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of all this, it's like, it's a terrible play with a terrible premise, and it's really ugly. But do we really need to know that this took place in the first place?
Yes, because I need to be outraged today. I need to feel my indignant, outright outrage so I can be angry at people for... Let me tell you about something about me when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I always had depression, right? It wasn't diagnosed till many years later, but I always had it.
Even as a kid.
And it was, you know, I would wear black and be sad. And that was not on purpose. That just was who I was. So I got in the habit of reading the obituary so I could see if anyone famous died. So then if somebody asked me why I was so dour and wearing black, I could say so-and-so died. Okay?
It's also slimming.
I don't mean to laugh at your misery, but no, that is hysterical.
I should probably do a bit about that. I haven't yet, because to me it's just so, like...
It's a little personal?
Well, it's more like, didn't everyone find coping mechanisms like this?
Of course we did.
Of course so. Yeah. But that was mine.
So who was the celebrity that died that you were like...
I don't know.
You got some real
juice. I don't remember.
From?
It was a long time ago. But my point is that I had to find reasons to explain away my depression.
Okay.
not to myself, but to other people. So maybe I'm just an angry person and I need reasons to be angry. So when people say, what the hell is wrong with you? I can go, there's a play in England with a freaking fake autistic kid who's made of felt. And then that's
the,
like
the father shit fisted on the bed. He shit on the bed to make it look like the child was doing it, so he would be sent to an institution. And that is the big reveal. The play.
That's dun, dun, dun. The big reveal of the. Well, now you've ruined it. Now I can't go.
Spoiler alert!
Spoilers.
Like you weren't even going to see the play. It's like it's a small little theater company can't even afford to pay its that's bills.
Even,
you know,
is that even a thing an autistic kid would do?
What, shit on the bed pillow?
To get yeah,
kids can do anything.
Not at 12.
Kids will do anything. See,
yeah, I want to know if this was based on a true story or if somebody just wanted it. Because here's the thing. If they made it up, it wouldn't have to be an autistic kid. They could just make the kid an asshole. Mm. Those exist too.
I guess that the playwrights and the theater company was trying to portray the struggle that the family has in dealing with mental health issues and was trying to tell the story of the caregivers.
Yeah,
and speak to their challenges.
Yeah, you're never going to get the sympathy from the caregivers. You know, when you have a child who is clearly not in control over his circumstances, and then you have parents who are plotting against him, mm-hmm. That's never going to be a sympathetic audience. So yeah, like you said, the only sympathetic character is going to be the puppet, and they've chosen not to make that a human. I mean,
so you just hate the show.
There's
you
know? No winners yeah. in this show.
Yeah. So part of it is like all these kind of, and I noticed this, that a lot of these music, like Jussie Smollett.
Oh my God.
You know, all the,
what the hell happened?
We still don't know.
We don't know.
He must have paid someone a lot of money.
We don't know.
That's the most likely.
What was the prosecuting attorney general, Samantha Fox?
Kim Fox.
Samantha Fox is the one who, like, I want to touch your body.
What?
Naughty girls need love.
Did she come out of the closet?
She did. She came out as a lesbian. Samantha Fox is a lesbian. 80s pop star. But Kim Fox.
I have no recollection of her.
She, Google she it. Knows the family. She Again. Knows Jussie Smollett's family.
Oh.
Okay.
So she was like.
So he had to forfeit his bond yeah. and he has to do community service, but they dropped all charges. We just don't know.
I want to see Jussie Smollett picking up trash on the highway. That'd be awesome. This is your community service.
Oh, well, he has to do community service.
Yeah.
But what's that going to
do? He's going to do teen acting workshops with prisoners.
Mm. Really?
That's what I would like really? To. Oh, that'd be fun to watch.
Usually they just have him shoot a PSA or something.
Mm. He'll be a guest star in Orange is the New Black.
Oh, Jesus.
Somebody I know who worked with him on Empire set, and they said he's like 6'3".
Oh, he's tall.
He's a big guy.
Oh, well.
I thought he was like this, because, you know, they're all tiny on television, right?
No, a lot of them are quite tall.
Oh, really? I thought yeah. Everybody was like 5'6".
No, only the game show hosts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not that they have big heads, it's that they have tiny little bodies. Yeah, you have to basically be shaped like a popsicle. No, I'm not a popsicle, a lollipop to work in Hollywood, which is why I will never star in anything. Thank you.
So, you know, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who's the most ex-mayor Rahm Emanuel.
Soon to be ex.
Lame duck mayor. The most unpopular mayor we've ever had here in Chicago is like, blah, 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 Jussie Smollett. And I'm like, aren't you the guy who had the secret prison run by police that were like, you know, arresting people and making them disappear. Mm-hmm. And weren't you guys the guy who hid the police brutality murder of Laquan McDonald in order to get reelected? I would just shut up, you know? Yeah. Why is Rahm Emanuel, like, not being prosecuted? That's what I want to know.
That would be the machine.
Yeah, and so, you know, we just had an election. We got Lori Lightfoot.
Historic election.
Black lesbian, woman. Queer.
Woman.
And now every day is going to be folk music and soccer practice.
Okay, that is inaccurate. I do not have to be a lesbian to know that is inaccurate. And yeah, softball, not soccer. What do you want, crack?
We're going to be dancing like Ellen now.
Yeah, no.
She did have her Ellen suit, though, at the inauguration.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the thing, she wearing that, you know, that lesbian business
she
attire.
She wears some very loose-fitting suits.
Yeah.
It's very, like, it has a 90s kind of feel to it.
Having them tailored is extremely expensive. Mm-hmm. That was always my dream growing up. I wanted to dress like Paula Poundstone. And she was very, she had a very androgynous style.
Aren't you like guys related or something?
No, not on any, in my dreams.
And spiritually, at least.
I am spiritually connected and related to Paula Poundstone, but not in real life.
She's a proud asexual.
I know she is.
Acer, they call her.
She's an ace.
Is she still asexual?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's an acer, and she has, I think, three kids, two or three kids. Yeah, she adopted some kids.
She came on the podcast. You actually can listen to Amanda. Not Amanda Cohen, Paula Poundstone.
Well, there's a mistake I want everyone to make.
Talk to her about her ties.
Well, she said, I probably wouldn't march in a pride parade as an asexual person, but yes, I'm very comfortable talking about it. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
It was a really great interview. She did that right before she got back onto Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Oh, good. Yeah.
So Chicago's now lesbian city.
In the 80s, we used to have, I think Robin Williams, someone like that, had a joke about how, you know, God is coming and she's a lesbian black woman and she's pissed. You know, like that was literally the joke. A lesbian black woman.
Well, now we have Mayor Lightfoot.
And you know what? There's also in National Lampoon's Lemmings, which I think was recorded in, I want to say, 1979. There's a band, like a Marxist band is coming up. Lemmings is a parody of Woodstock. Mm-hmm. And there's a band coming up, and they're like, you know, throw off your chains. And in the prologue, the guy's saying, like, if you're not an unwed black lesbian mother, you're an oppressor. It's like, wow. It's
like, I do believe Lori is married.
Okay, but my point is that a freaking black lesbian woman used to be like the epitome of
leftist
correctness. Yes. Yeah, yeah, leftness.
You know, and people, you know, I certainly think it's a reason to celebrate. We have a woman mayor. We have an LGBTQ plus mayor. An African-American mayor. But, you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, say, yes, celebrate, but also to please keep an eye on her because, you know, she is part of the machine and she was
not. Her goal is to break the machine.
She was endorsed by Daily and Rahm Emanuel. So I would say that, and she's worked for Daily.
Who else were they going to?
Emmanuel.
Yeah, okay.
So she's
a little bit of a caution.
So just be cautious. And also, too, I mean, you know, there's a history with her, you know, with being a prosecutor and the police department.
I thought you were going to say prostitute. I was scared for a minute there. I was like, what's wrong with that? Yeah. What's wrong with sex workers?
And it's something we really have to keep an eye on, and we have to fight for justice.
So what you're saying is that even a black lesbian woman might not be perfect? Really? Mm-hmm. Well, she's still a huge throbbing improvement over everyone we've had so far.
When the bar is low, the only way is up.
You know, people in the queer community are very concerned. So I just, you know, mindful of that.
You have to speak to that.
You have to speak to that. You have to mention that.
But that's true of any politician, no matter how great or horrible they are.
That's like Trump.
Yeah. Now, Trump is a real a good example of why April Fool's jokes don't work anymore, because people still do this. They'll post like fake Trump tweets, but you actually can't tell them from the real ones because, like, there's no bottom to his dumbitude.
Yeah. Well, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says a lot of the politicians like Trump get their news information from me.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't know if the oranges come from him or the orange comes from someplace else.
The orange?
Yeah, you didn't hear that one? He did a speech the other day.
Did he mean origin?
Origins, and he said orange. Like, the orange.
He can't pronounce
the origins of that. Yeah, he
did. How ironic.
I know. Isn't that weird? Ugh. And so I guess there was some woman visiting from China trying to get into Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to pay to play with the president.
Yeah.
And they found malware in her computer system.
Well, this is what she did.
Like
so this is my little trick.
Okay.
If you can get away with it, if you have enough privilege in your attitude, you can get into most hotels or country clubs and just say, I'm just here to use the pool. I'm a member. And they will never ask you to prove it.
You know, it never even occurred to me to try that.
And you just go in there and have a fabulous time. You know, Mark and I have gone to many fabulous places like that. But, you know, just keep your mouth shut and say, I'm a celebrity, goddammit. Let me in.
Yeah, I'm not
And so this woman, she got into Mar-a-Lago with thumb drives and computers, laptops and phones and stuff, all for the purpose of spying on politicians.
Oh, she actually was there to spy.
Yes.
They didn't just think she was a spy.
No.
Oh, that's awesome.
They caught busted, girl.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
I would kind of like to see what they found out.
Well, I think part of it is that it's she's not spying for us. She's spying for other countries.
Yeah. Oh, that was, you know what? Okay. So I generally avoid reading news because it drives me nuts. I can handle it on the radio where there's little bits of it. But I walked by a TV that was showing news today in the airport, and it said something about a big leader in commerce in China is a communist. Like, well, wait a minute. Is he a leader in commerce or is he a communist? Because you can't be both. Bless you.
Well, you can have commerce and trade, right? But still have communism, can't you? Because China is a communist country, right?
Yeah. That, again, it's mysterious. Communism. Am I crazy? Or am I thinking of socialism, which is the one that says
everybody owns property. Everything is communism.
Yeah. Yeah. So like I knew a guy who was a communist and a landlord. It's like that doesn't seem possible. Like, shouldn't he just be letting people live there for free because he has the space?
Well, you have to exchange some kind of form of trade, right?
Maybe they could paint the walls or something. Anyway, there's not supposed to be a winner in communism.
I am very fascinated, though, on YouTube. Somebody posted a documentary of Russian supermarkets in the 1980s, and they look like shit shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the whole breadline thing.
But the thing about it is, that was super... I come from a capitalist Western country. Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. And Puerto Rico... In the 1980s, there were places that you could buy groceries or produce or meats that were just like that Russian supermarket.
Well,
there were, you know, they would just bring the stuff out and people would take a line and get a little ticket and put in their order. And it was just like it was just pure chaos.
Did you hear that the president, I can't even say that, apparently said that Puerto Rico received $91 billion in aid when, in fact, they received 11.
It's very important for him to lie.
Oh, you...
It's a very...
People,
it's a, the top
people
priority
believe
of
it so hard.
Oh, I mean, they want to believe it. They, like, he said it, so it must be true.
But, again, coming back to April Fools, lying for fun isn't fun when people are doing it maliciously.
Mm.
Well, what do you make of James Comey on April 1st? He posted on Twitter that he was running for alluding that he was running for president. He posted a photo of himself in the middle of a road, open road, looking off into the distance with his hands in his pockets, standing in the middle yellow lane, separating each side
of
the street.
Is that the one that said something like, a man in jeans on a street, or something like that?
No, he wrote, I'm in. We need someone in the middle. Hashtag 2020.
Good luck with that, George Comey.
People are like, no fucking way.
You know, when,
go to hell.
When Trump announced he was running for president, it was a joke. It was a joke related to his show, The Apprentice.
That's right.
His first rally, people were paid to attend it and make it look like he had supporters. Okay? That's where this all started. It was literally a joke.
And it caught wind because he had a popular TV show at the time.
Everybody
was going saying, you're fired! With their fingers.
Yeah. Who likes to say that? That's just mean.
Well, part of it is like,
being mean.
We don't understand.
That's not a good president.
The nature of relationships and leaderships very well, generally speaking. And so that's part of the reason we have like high, in terms of American
wage
culture,
wage disparity,
people get fired a lot in the United States, a lot of relationships, and there's a lot of leadership problems. And part of that is it's like when you have problems with your partner, when you have problems with a coworker or a manager or an employee or something, it's this idea that like, you better do your job, you better do it well, or you're fired, or it's a divorce or separation. And because that always becomes the standard way of relating to people, no one's ever talking about like, well, what's causing the problem? How can we work together to fix it?
We are so far beyond solving the problems. We can barely solve the solutions.
Well, and I think, you know, in terms of successful relationships, just because the United States, and this actually heard this from Bill Clinton actually said this, just because in the government there are terrible leaders and an unfavorable political status quo should not stop you from living out your dreams and living out your life.
Yeah, that's a nice.
Try not to let that stop in your way. And for a lot of people, and I've noticed this, that right now, like, as a country, we're sort of on hold. Like, a lot of people are depressed. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pause happening.
But it's
And I just want to urge people that there are other things to think about and worry about, and there's plenty of things to, you know, look down upon. There's no shortage of actually horrible things to talk about. But, you know, and I think it's important to look at things kind of like a stand-up comedian, because, you know, you could just stand up on stage and start complaining about things and people will be booing or just walking away. That's You're true. Actually trying to take something that's a problematic or heartful or painful to you and transform it into something that's entertaining and even allows us to sort of laugh and forget about our own problems.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, it's what we try to do, but that's one reason that whenever someone who isn't a huge political comedian starts doing Trump jokes, everyone in the audience tunes out. Because that's what we came here to get away from.
Yeah.
You know, unless you are a really good political comedian or an incredible impressionist, just stay away from Trump. It's not funny anymore.
What do you make of this phenomena that comedians are suddenly becoming very conservative or like transphobic or anti-gay or very regressive in their comedy just to shock and awe people?
Yeah, they're trying to just take advantage of what they see as a growing market of openly racist, hateful people as opposed to the closeted, hateful, racist people that we used to have.
So they're opportunists.
They're opportunists. I mean, somebody just launched a tour of, you know, right wing, whatever. And it's like four white guys or four, you know, four guys.
What's the snowflake tour? What is it?
Something like that. Yeah, it is literally something like that. Something like that. And then there's like a girl band that they're touring with. But no girl comics, because they're I don't think you're going to find a right wing woman doing comedy. I just don't.
What about that one who lost her mind?
Victoria Jackson.
But she doesn't do stand-up.
She was not a comedian.
Well, she was from Saturday Night Live.
No, I know very well who she was. She was in Weird Al's movies.
Yeah.
UHF. Yes,
yeah.
I know her well. She would wear an...
She talked like a stupid...
Not
like
quite,
a ditz.
Not like that. More like she was about to cry.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, she did poetry.
She was friends with Rilla Yankovic then. Or she just
she was
getting cast at the
time. Yeah, she was cast at the time, and she was, you
know. She was like a Hollywood go-to actor for
a ditz. I don't know about that. She was never a go-to. She wasn't in that many things. Uh-huh. But she, I think she is still doing SNL or just come off of it. It was 1989. I should know. I'm embarrassed that I cannot say the name the year that it was. Anyway, yeah, so she was in UHF, and then a little bit after that, she went off the goddamn deep end. She started to try to create an all right wing version of The View. You know, she had a bunch of women, all conservative women, and, you know, they recorded, I think, an episode, and it never got anywhere because watching a bunch of women saying how, you know, women shouldn't have the right to vote and women should be cooking just doesn't. Play.
Well, maybe
you know?
it was so good they only had to do one episode.
No, it was unbearable. It was unwatchable.
Well, like Carol Kane from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, she gets confused a lot for Victoria Jackson.
Wow, they're like 30 years apart.
I know, but Carol Kane was
the same age.
No, they were sort of around the same time period. Carol Kane played the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Carol
Kane was on Taxi in the 70s, and Victoria Jackson
she was a kind of
was
in the
getting
80s.
Born in the 70s.
But she was popular in the 60s, on SNL in the 1980s.
I don't know about popular.
With Dennis Miller was on doing the news. He also became a right wing conservative pundit.
Well,
you know?
Again, he's more of a centrist, and he's just more opportunistic as far as, you know, how he likes making people angry. There's a local guy, you guys know Mancow, right?
Yes.
Have you ever spoken to him in person?
No.
He's a hardcore nerd. He loves Weird Al. He loves conventions. He loves Dungeons and Dragons and all that crap. But you would never hear him talk about on the air. On the air, he talks about, you know, manly things and F words and... Mm-hmm.
In the 90s, when I moved here, he was a really big deal here.
Yeah, he was a big DJ.
Well, acoustically, he also sounded a lot like Howard Stern. So if you were trying to tune into Howard Stern,
right,
people would start listening to his show thinking it was Howard Stern.
Well, at the time, there were two massive showbiz radio industries. Back when we had radio, kids, back in the day, you had Rush Limbaugh and you had Howard Stern.
Radio.
No, you had Rush Limbaugh and you had Howard Stern. And... Yeah. Mancow wanted to be both of them together because they were popular. And I would rather, you know, have someone believe what they say and say hateful things than say hateful things to try and get ratings. And I always felt that was what he was doing. This has nothing to do with the fact that he once personally attacked me on the radio and when I wasn't there to defend myself. Well, okay, so you know I produced these conventions for fans of Weird Al, right?
Yeah,
many years ago.
I had no idea, but you helped to kick off Weird Al, like these fan conventions with Weird Al. You organized the first three Weird Al Yankovic conventions here in Chicago.
Yeah, 98, 2000, and 2002. But in promoting either the first or the second one, I forget, I went on Mancow's show with Luke Sienkowski, or otherwise known as the great Luke Ski, who also now lives in L.A., and, you know, we went on together and we talked about the convention, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, you know, perfectly like, oh, a bunch of dorks are going to be there, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, he's like, hey, can you get me tickets to this thing and whatever? So Luke went back on the show, I don't know how many months later, but he said to Luke, what happened to that fat bitch from Alcon? Yeah, and that somehow got back to me.
On the radio?
On the radio, said, what happened to that fat bitch from Alcon? And I don't know if it was Luke who told me or someone else who heard it and told me. And then the next time I saw Mancow was sitting up front to see Weird Al at Navy Pier. And I walked over and said, hi, I'm the fat bitch from Alcon.
Yeah!
Please don't insult me when I'm not there to defend myself. Thank you. And he was just like, oh, it's great to see you, man. I'm like, fuck you.
Fuck
you, Mancow. Just how, you know what? It's like if I'd been there, I would have gone, ha, 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 you're a fat bitch. You know, whereas I would have said something. But to say that when I wasn't there, I always thought was very rude. Also, well, it's radio. Who knew I was fat?
Yeah. And that who knew just, you were a bitch?
Well, okay, that one's obvious. That one is clear. Did I tell you I've officially become an L.A. comic? I threw a friend of mine under a bus for a gig.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Heartless.
It's happening.
But nobody takes public transportation in L.A.
No, a lot of people do.
She threw her underneath a energy eco-friendly vehicle.
Oh, you know what? They had to start... They still had a bunch
electric
of
vehicle.
Diesel buses, and they were catching fire, apparently. They're taking the last of the diesel buses off the streets in L.A. and replacing them with clean, gas-efficient energy.
One thing that bothers me, and I've seen this a lot happen with some of our friends and fans and listeners, is that, you know, in terms of, like, conservative stand-up comedians, they get some gigs, they get a lot of, like, funding...
They get a lot of private gigs. Like
they got a lot of corporate gigs and help to pay their bills because somebody somewhere is invested in creating an appealing media personality that promotes a very regressive agenda.
I love that word, regressive, being the opposite of progressive, because it's true. There's a whole, like I said, there's a whole tour of guys who really believe that, you know, the thing is, once you go to a MAGA rally and you see those guys out there, they're a big market. And if you
got something to sell,
identify with them in any way, then, you know, go do your comedy about that, because there is nothing that the other side, there's nothing that regressive love more than implying that we have no sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But we're not the ones struggling to get comedy gigs.
Well, that's just it. I mean, first of all, everybody's struggling to get comedy gigs. But
you know what I'm saying? Like, most successful stand-up comedians are progressive people.
Right. But that's, I mean, even the ones who aren't even that progressive are somewhat progressive.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of very successful, super right-wing comics. There just aren't. I mean, I know a few. I can name a couple for you. I have a friend who writes bits for Ann Coulter, and he's a perfectly lovely guy.
So she doesn't come up with those mean, hateful things herself?
I know. Can you believe it?
Oh, my God.
But, you know, and that's, but he does, you wouldn't know.
How much does she pay for a joke?
I have no idea.
I'm like, maybe we can stop.
Well, you wouldn't know from his stand-up that's mm-hmm. his political position. So there's plenty of guys out there.
Would you take that kind of job?
Writing jokes for Ann Coulter?
Or just, you know, like, have you ever taken a job where you just, like, didn't want people to know because you were just like, or did you ever consider it, I guess? Because I know you well enough to know
I've never been offered a gig that I didn't agree. I mean, I've played a gig at a church. That doesn't bother me. I've done, you know, I did face painting. I did balloon gigs, whatever. I did those for churches. I had no problem taking their money.
I
didn't have to present my opinion in any way, you know. When you're dealing with comedy, you're dealing with, you know, pretty distinct beliefs, and if your beliefs don't align with the person you're writing for, it's extremely difficult to write for them. So I don't, I mean, I've never been in a position where I've had to do that. I can't imagine being offered a kind of gig, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we think you're incredibly funny. We need you to write for, I can't even, Joe Rogan. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's less political than just bro-y, douche bro-y.
No, but see, the thing about it is like someone like him puts a lot of, right-wing pundits, gives them airtime and legitimizes
them.
Oh,
thank God somebody's giving the right-wing pundits some airtime.
Well, it's legitimizing them to a mainstream audience, to a politically neutral audience. There's one thing to being like a guest on Fox News.
Yeah.
And another thing getting, you know, on something neutral that then, and I personally know people who are like, you know what? Ben, I don't even know who the fuck this Ben Shapiro guy is. But he's some this rising conservative right wing regressive person, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden, like, I know people who are just like, "Well, Ben Shapiro has a point," you know. To both parties are the same, and I'm just like,
"That is," oh my
and
god.
I'm just like, "Oh my god,
I hate." I'm so. I mean, you know, the what is it? False equivalency.
Yeah.
Yeah, both sides do it. I'm like, yes, but. One is so much worse. Like, everyone's coming out against Joe Biden now because people are accusing him of being a creep. Okay, mm-hmm. You know what? Maybe he is. Maybe he's just affectionate. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying mm-hmm. that while it may be completely true that he's done everything they said, it's not as bad as saying you're going to grab somebody by the pussy. It's just not the same at all.
And you wonder where it's coming from, and then people are just saying, well, it's coming out of Bernie's camp. Bernie's doing this
because
Bernie's trying to get rid of that because he knows that Joe will beat him. And I'm just like, first of all, I don't know if Joe Biden would beat Bernie, and it doesn't seem like that would be a tactic that Bernie would employ.
You know, the thing about the whole presidential race this far out is that there's going to be 20-30 different Democratic candidates and then a couple of independents and whatever. And unless you live in like Iowa or Maine or what is the other? There's another key state. Is it Michigan? One of those states where they start debating early. Mm-hmm. We don't even get a say in that. I don't really pay attention to the early, you know, throwing their hat into the ring. It's like, you know what? Let me know when you're down to four, because I don't get to vote on any of them until then. So
what do you make of America's mayor, Pete Buttigieg, or
Buttigieg. Just say Buttigieg. You're gonna
his
have
husband's
to,
taking his name. I noticed.
That's adorable.
On social. Well, you look at Lori Lightfoot's wife. She didn't take her wife's name.
So what? That's her choice, man.
What do you guys make? I want to know from the listeners. What do you guys make from gay couples where one partner takes same-sex couples where one partner takes the other partner's name? Does that imply some kind of power dynamic? Is that person taking the other partner's name, you know, benefiting somehow, or is it a little bit?
There is no benefit to changing your name. It is so hard.
I think if my husband were mayor of South Bend, Indiana, I would probably change my name.
That's true. That couldn't, you know? That couldn't hurt.
Your family be so, you know, mad at you.
I mean, to go out of the way to choose a name like Buttigieg or Buttigieg
or whatever. Name beforehand?
I don't know, yeah, but maybe his first name worse. Was like Chasen, so it's like how waspy can get.
Maybe it was like Hitler or something. A name he really had to get rid of.
You're like, oh, thank you, Pete.
But, you know, the process of changing your name. I had a friend who just went through like 2 years changing his gender. I'm sorry, their gender. Forgive me, I don't remember. Lane, you'll
what gender me. does this person identify as?
I believe they identify as a they.
Okay,
or they did for a long time, but they/he just had it changed legally in their home state to he.
Okay.
I think he was
you
there for a long time.
You can still refer to a he or a she as a they in certain circumstances.
Okay, like when you say Ms. when you don't know if they're married mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I say that because I get called Mrs. all the goddamn time. I'm like, Mrs.? Don't you dare make that assumption.
I get that too. Now, especially that I shaved. Yeah, like at the grocery store, like,
Mrs.
I'm about
Fausto?
To pay. And they go, thank you, miss, ma'am. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm
it's
like,
Ms.,
don't worry.
Thank you.
Yeah. I get it all the time.
I still get shocked when people call me sir. I'm like, what?
Oh, I get sir, and I'm not even shocked by it anymore. I accept it. It doesn't bother
well,
me.
Well, I do it just, you know, when I work in retail, it's like, I just do it because I want to be respectful to the person, you know?
And people call me sir all the time. I don't care.
You know, in retail.
Or ma'am. I don't, listen, it's just, you know, the intention. Are you trying to be kind? Are you trying to be considerate?
That's true.
Are you asking the question, what do I call
okay,
you?
Okay, so I checked into my hotel this afternoon, and there's two dudes behind the counter, and one of them, big, tall, giant dude. I'm sure he was being, you know, friendly and professional, but his question was, you got any plans today? And I'm sure he
was flirting with you.
I don't know. I have to assume he wasn't, because if he was, that would gross me out because I'm staying there. But
he was an employee and wanted to know what you were up to.
I think he was just like, oh, like what brings you to town kind of a thing. You know, I'm
well, they're trying to do that. So to make the place more friendly.
And I get that. But yeah. You know what? I just froze. I'm like, I don't know how to answer that. I just said
murder spree.
I should have. No, I think I just said working.
Crash and grab.
I was kind of like
smash and grab.
You know, none of your freaking
business.
I'm going
to have a drug, sex, booze, rock and roll party and trash the room.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to, you know, explain. It's like, well, I came into a town for a convention or for a festival. I thought I was going to be performing tonight, but then they moved it to Friday. So I had to pick other shows. So now I'm doing a show, but not the one I thought I was going to do because I couldn't afford to change my flight.
Amanda, where are you performing comedy tonight?
Hamburger Mary's.
What? Wait,
is it tonight or is it Thursday?
Thursday.
I'm doing Hamburger Mary's both nights.
What?
Order up, girl.
I'm doing Hamburger Mary's in Andersonville tonight, which is Wednesday, and I'm sorry if you missed it. I was awesome.
Do you have some good hamburger jokes?
I have no hamburger jokes because hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
Hamburger Mary's. That's the right-wing equivalent of hamburger. No! Sorry, I just created a horrible image in my head there. Thursday I'm doing the one in Andersonville, and on Friday, Wednesday I'm doing the one Andersonville, and on Thursday I'm doing the one in Oak Park, and I'm very excited about that one.
Well, all right.
So, yeah, I've actually gone to their comedy showcase there a couple times. It's good.
Yeah, I know. I've been in it.
And you can eat while you watch, and the food's good.
The food's amazing.
So you're not going to be like, you know, because usually when you go to these comedy clubs, they're like, do you want some hot poppers? Pretzels. And I'm like, you mean like the ones you eat, not the other ones you have.
Jalapeno poppers. Yeah. No, actually, yeah, a lot of clubs have notorious bar food. But let me tell you about Flappers in Burbank. Oh, my gosh. That's a place I play on the reg. I host an open mic there on Sunday nights, 9:30.
Oh, you do?
Swing by. Yeah.
But how do people sign up? Because we have a lot of people that perform that
okay,
to the show.
If you are in the L.A. metropolitan, if you're in the TMZ, and you know who you are, Sunday nights at 9:30 at Flappers in the Bar is what we call the No Blender Bar Mic. No blender because they don't blend drinks during the show. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Flappers took over a space that used to be, I don't know, like a macaroni grill or something. So they have this wonderful kitchen. And rather than just use it to make poppers, they make excellent food. Like they have these incredible pizzas they make in their wood-fired oven and everything.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. So when you come down to Flappers.
Ovens are very quiet.
Yes, exactly. Just like a no blender. So yeah, Sunday nights, come on down. You gotta buy something at the bar from one of our lovely and talented bartenders. Chelsea's usually the one there, and that will get you a little ticket. You write your name on the ticket, you put it in the bucket, and it is a lottery, like many open mics in LA. The difference, though, is that if you don't get picked that night, you get your ticket back, so you don't have to buy another thing next time you come back. But the nice thing also is that on Sunday nights, we usually get through the whole bucket. So you'll probably get
on. Do you get a ticket for everything you buy?
No, you get one. You only need one thing. If you buy more stuff, you don't get more tickets.
And remember to tip your bartenders. And when you're done tipping them, put them back up.
Exactly. I always, my line is usually.
That is one of the oldest stand-up comedy jokes in the world.
Good one.
Just to let people.
I like using one that a lot of guys use, but it's funnier when I do it, which is give all your money to Chelsea. She's carrying my baby. See, that's not possible yet.
Well, you know.
Yet.
You may have paid for it.
Day will happen.
I would love to have a baby with Mark. We actually tried to have a baby, but it didn't happen.
Because you're both men?
Yeah, I tried to get a sister pregnant, but it didn't take.
Yeah. But it was really, it was quite an adventure. We went to the fertility
clinic.
I'm like Trump now.
Well, now that's your problem. If you go to the fertility clinic, they'll help you out. The fertility clinic.
When you talk so much, your mouth gets tired and you get, you know, it's like RuPaul's getting his own talk show. That's and he can't pronounce the word dollars.
Mm-hmm. Dollars. Dollars.
Dollars.
Yeah, we went through a fertility clinic and everything. I had to jizz into a cup. They tested my sperm. Mm-hmm. They said it tasted great.
Classic.
You know, those fertility clinics are run by like really regressive conservative Christians.
We had to pretend like we were a couple.
Yeah.
Not me and Mark. Mark and my sister.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to sleep in.
Were you and I married at that point? No, we weren't even legally
married.
It wasn't legal. No. You know what? That actually would be an interesting story. like a great movie. It's like a couple that has to pretend to be straight so they can make a kid happen. And then it's actually for a gay couple and all hell breaks loose.
It's a weird like life that Mark and I live because like our personal life has been this really amazing adventure that we've been together. We're celebrating.
You've been sharing with everybody.
What's our anniversary?
It's our 20th anniversary. When? April 4th.
Shut up.
Yeah. I know.
Wait, that's tomorrow.
Well, yeah, today when people are listening.
It's today.
It's 20 years ago. I met Fausto in a bar. He walked up to me and said, "Say, do I know you from the internet?"
And you went, "What? Internet? What? What's that? AOL, huh? I don't have that."
It existed 20 years ago.
It existed 20 years ago, but I wasn't looking for dates online at this point in time.
Kids, this is before Tinder.
Mm-hmm.
This is before
iPhones.
Match.com.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is before you could swipe anything.
And to this day, I still catch myself looking at the corner of a room and spotting someone that looks like Mark. And thinking, "Oh my God, that guy's really hot." And then I go, "Oh, he's my husband."
Aww, that's so cute. That's sweet.
And that makes me happy because I'm like, well, even objectively, like if I got Alzheimer's, God forbid, I would still think Mark is beautiful.
Aww, and Mark?
And Mark, because he is.
You feel the same?
I am beautiful, yes.
No, okay.
I do feel beautiful.
But this is the weird thing. So, like, Mark and I have done these amazing adventures and done this show, and you've been such a big part of what we do.
Thank you, Amanda.
You know, and I mean, one of my happiest memories was
having
a big meet and greet in Los Angeles at Mickey's in West Hollywood.
Yeah, I've done shows there. I've done shows there. Nobody knows that I was there before.
Remember the mob of people that showed up for that?
Yeah.
And there was like a line, and people wanted to sign autographs.
That was weird.
We weren't expecting that.
How did we ever get so popular?
We did that in New York too, right?
We did in New York.
I didn't make it to New York. I made it to San Francisco.
Yes, you were. Yeah. I thought you were in New York. I know your medication got
Okay, first of all, don't joke about my medication. It's what keeps me from killing everybody or myself. But did we go in New York? Are you sure?
Starlight Lounge. It was like in the Village.
I have photographs, honey. Yeah, I can play it back for you.
You didn't fly. You were going there for something else too. Like you worked something out.
Was that in 1999?
No, that was 2005 or 6.
I have no recollection of going to New York for something in that year.
Show me your ID. Are you really the real Amanda Cohen?
I'm not even sure.
I feel
sure.
like you were also doing something in Washington, D.C. Does that seem possible? Or
but anyways, so...
I don't know.
Mark and
I might have been going to my friend's wedding.
So Mark and I, you know, we have all these adventures. We try to have a baby. We're one of the first couples get married.
We tried to rob a bank. You know.
And wait, what? All the time, like media companies, you know, because we also interview a lot of people, they write to us and they say, "Hey, do you know of any of the like gay couples in Chicago that got married when it first came out?" And we're like, "Well, we actually were. You guys can talk to us." And they're like, "We're not interested." Do you have any couples that try to conceive a child together with a sibling? It's like,
yeah,
that's us. No, we're not interested.
What are they looking for that's not you? You guys would
people
be perfect.
Not involved in
anything but Feast of Fun. And part of it is, I think...
Because everyone knows your stories, they want a new one?
No, I think part of it is that, like, you know... In terms of what we do here, we're very progressive. We're not aligned to any like political party or brand or message.
No, but
we're aligned to humanity. We're aligned to people expressing their ideas and their thoughts. We're aligned with artists and creators, the thinkers, the dreamers. And for us, it's like sometimes we're at odds with somebody who wants to manipulate, someone who wants to punish, someone who gets jealous because somebody else has something that they have. And so when we point those things out, sometimes it makes people angry and confused.
But weren't you guys jealous of people who had kids?
So no, because I love dealing with kids. And it's like, you know, and I think Mark, you know, in terms of like what it's like, Mark does an amazing job with Jesse and just like... I would love to be able to do that.
He's a fur baby.
He's an angel. Baby.
Hi, sweetie.
And so, you know, for me, it's like, I'm really glad that we're here to be able to tell your story and to tell a lot of those
people's
stories.
I'm glad you can tell my story because I don't remember much of it, apparently.
You should keep a diary.
Diary might be a bad idea, you know?
Honestly, I'm afraid because I'm afraid I'll open it one day and not remember anything.
Well, that's why you keep a diary.
I know, but that's kind of scary.
Forgetting some stuff is also a blessing, though, too, right?
Yeah, but I don't.
Ignorance is bliss.
At the moment.
The thing is, I remember a lot of shitty stuff. I don't remember a lot of the good stuff. Like, I remember the day my my soon-to-be ex-boyfriend threatened to hit me in an airport, but I don't remember going to New York to do a show.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that was literally before the turn of the century. It was that was in college. It was a long time ago. But you know what I learned from that? The minute they even pretend to think about threatening to be violent, I'm so out. I have no tolerance. I know a lot of people who have dealt with a lot of stuff, and I'm like, I had no tolerance for that.
You don't have time for that.
Well,
why it's so important to focus on the positive, happy memories of your life. And if you want to relive them, you can relive them on Feast of Fun.
You know what? Send me that episode because I got to.
I will. You guys can also listen to it at feastoffun.com/plus, where you can archive our vaults over 14, now 15 years.
We're in our 15th season.
15 years of in-depth, one-of-a-kind podcasts, many of them with Amanda Cohen.
So you've basically been married for 15 years.
We've been a couple for 20 years.
I mean, I slept with him within the first hour of meeting him. So, I mean, it's like.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me.
And how soon after that was I asking you to marry me?
I think you asked me when we were still at the bar that night.
Aww.
No, it was like, later that week.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay,
that
so
night.
When it was, I remember, that's the thing I do remember. I remember where I was and what I was doing when I heard that it was legal.
And where were you?
I was driving out of the Walgreens on Kedzie. And I was pulling out of the parking lot, and I turned on the radio, and the da-da-da-da-da has legalized gay marriage. And I cried. I thought that was so freaking amazing. So my question to you is, when you first heard, did you suddenly go, oh, I guess we have to get married now? Or did you go, oh, my God, we can get married now?
Oh, my God, we've been fighting for it for years. We were very excited about it. And then his mother's just like, I'm going to France this summer. Don't get married this summer. And we're just like, well, let's not wait. You know, we had the money to get married, like, right then and there. And then we spent the money. And then we're just like, wait a second. We'd save more money if we got taxed, if we got married. So we just did a quickie wedding.
Yeah.
Just to have it done. And then we were broke again, and then we were like, oh, no wedding for us.
You guys need to have a big, big wedding.
Someday. We'll have an anniversary party.
Yeah. You know, no, a big wedding anniversary. Like what do they call it? Renewing your vows.
Oh. If every person.
You need to renew your vows.
We're doing a thing now called Patreon. Have you heard of
it? Yes, I've heard of Patreon. I have two Patreon accounts.
So we are on Patreon.
Okay, three Patreon accounts.
So for just $1 a month, you can be notified of all the fun things that we do, but also get to see videos and photos and clips and behind the scenes.
When are you coming back to L.A.?
As soon as I can.
As soon as that Patreon gets up and running. And
so all we're asking people
come
is
back
just
to
like,
Mickey. I know the woman
we
who
gotta
runs
do it, right?
Monday night. There's a comedy show followed by a drag show.
Mickey, oh my God, perfect transition.
Monday night. That would be the night. Hey, Samantha Hale, we got to hook this up, all right?
Yeah, Samantha.
Hale's grandfather.
But let me plug the Patreon.
Samantha Hale's grandfather was the skipper on Gilligan's Island.
Get out of here.
And she's now a stand-up comic.
Does that mean her grandfather was the Tin Man?
That's right.
Wait, what?
Alan Hale. Alan Hale's dad was a Tin Man in Wizard of Oz.
Okay, now that's more than I knew.
I think so, right?
Yeah.
Well, she never mentioned her great-grandfather, but everyone knows.
I have a heart. That's the reason I have a heart, is because it's breaking right now.
And that's not what he said. He sounds like, now I know I have a heart, because it's breaking. He sounded like a girl, is what I'm saying.
He said, Dorothy, you suck. Go back to Oz. Go back to Kansas.
I was like, Scarecrow, I guess I'll miss you most of all. We're standing right here, Dorothy. That's just rude.
And you know what? We never boned.
I know, right? How did she at least not bone the Tin Man?
I think actually Dorothy and the Scarecrow did have like a romantic connection in other books, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, first of all, ew.
It's a Scarecrow.
So what you were talking about the Patreon.
FeastOfFun.com. So on Patreon, we start sharing like a lot of our archives and behind the scenes photos, goodies, things you might have forgotten that existed. It is kind of like a blog about Feast of Fun. And for $1 a month, you can access all this stuff. It's only for people who sign up. So go to patreon.com/faceoffun and unlock our vault of goodies.
You can hear all those episodes.
Of the levels you can pledge at.
If you want us to like actually engage with you, if you want to put your name and promote your own podcast or blog or anything at the end, you can also sign up for that. And basically, we start sticking your name at the beginning and the end of the shows.
Mm-hmm. Like a sponsorship almost.
Yes.
Cool.
So, you know, because there are some people who actually want to give and may not like
how much
be able to justify it.
To plug a bunch of my shows, if I had a bunch of big shows coming up and I wanted
check
to
check out our Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Are you saying
and find a level for you?
Patreon.com at no, wait. Patreon.com/feastoffun.
Exactly.
What if I were to look up Feast of Fools?
It just redirects to feastoffun.com.
Good. That was the trick question.
Let's do a little search engine optimization. If you want to learn more about Feast of Fun, where would you go?
Feastoffun.com/about.
If you want to listen to all the podcasts.
Oh, wait. Feastoffun.com/listen?
Podcast.
Damn it.
What if you wanted to contact us?
Feastoffun.com/contact.
What if you wanted to see our X-rated photos?
Feastoffun.com/in your dreams.
Amanda Cohen, it's so much fun to tape a show with you.
Thanks for having me. I know I just found out a couple days ago that I was even going to be available, so thanks for squeezing me in.
I always love walking down memory lane and realizing how fucked up the world is with you.
You're walking down memory lane, and I'm 20 blocks behind you going, where the hell are we?
Who am I?
What have I done?
Young man?
You know, where was it that I found the Kryolan paint shop? Was that in San Francisco?
That's in San Francisco.
Okay, I remember the paint store, mm-hmm. but I always conflate that or confuse that with L.A. Like, I don't even remember going
You
to
never
LA.
Even remember to be in San Francisco.
No,
you remember San Francisco.
I remember San Francisco.
You don't remember being in L.A.
I don't. It's so weird.
But we were in Disneyland together. There's photos
that makes
of us.
Sense. Wait a minute. Where did
you remember the Mickey's? It's the New York she doesn't remember.
That's so weird. Yeah, New York I definitely don't remember. Like, I couldn't afford to
go to
New
York. Well, we'll post some photos
on
Patreon.com/feastoffun. Check it out, guys. Bye!
Bye!